So many times I've questioned certain circumstances and things I could not understand. And many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision. That's when my frustration gets so out of hand. But it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken, and I've never had to stand one test alone. When I look at all my victories, the Spirit rises up in me. It's through the fire my weakness is made strong. And he will take you through the fire again. I know within myself I would surely perish, but if I trust the hand of God, he shields the flames again. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill. Oh, he never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says, just hold on, our and he will take you through the fire. Just hold on. Our Lord will show up. And he will take you through the fire again.
Amen. You ever been through the fire? You ever had problems and cares and you wondered, where in the world is the Lord in all of this? But he's always there with us and he's always going to lead us through. I'm thankful for that word, aren't you? Lead us through the fire again. So good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Ask God's blessing on the service and on the message this morning. Brother Dwayne Swan, would you take us to the Lord this morning in a word of prayer? Church, if you will stand, join the choir. Turn over to page number 393 and let's sing When We All Get to Heaven. Everyone sing now.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace in the
the last.
Onward to the prize before us. Soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be.
Be seated this morning. Choir, you can be seated as well. Again, it's great to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. Hope you've had a great week. Hope you had a great Memorial Day. Some of my guests were off on Monday, and I hope the Lord just gave you a great, great time with your families, and we're thankful for that. We're so thankful for our country that we live in. We're thankful for the men and the women, and remember last week we said all gave some, but some gave all, and we're thankful for those that have fought, and many have died for our country, that we could have the country that we have today. And I'm glad to be a member of the United States of America. Amen. And continue to be with those. We're still in war times, and continue to be and pray for those families that have loved ones there that are fighting for our freedom, fighting for our country. We just pray the Lord just keep them all safe. Please remember Trail. He lost his brother, I believe, yesterday morning. He sent me a text yesterday. And so please remember Trail and their family in prayer. Also, I'm sure all of you know that this week was the funeral for Miss Ruth Ann Bennett. And we lost a trooper. And she was a great, great woman of the Lord. And she was so instrumental in the children's home for all those years, and that's a great loss. And continue to pray for Brother Ben, the family, and the extended family. I know many of them were there for the funeral, and I know that Brother Ben really appreciated that, I'm sure. And so just continue to pray that the Lord just be with them, give them the strength that they need during this time. Also, Cassie fell this week, and I think she fractured her elbow, so remember her in prayer. Continue to pray for Miss Claudia. She's in the house of the Lord this morning. Brother Larry, how's Miss Connie doing this morning?
Had a rough week this week.
A rough week. So please remember Miss Connie and the family in prayer. And please remember all of the other prayer requests. We've got a long list of folks that just need prayer. So we want to ask the Lord to be with them. Let's ask the Lord to be in the service today. Pray for the offering this morning. And this morning, ask CJ if you would take us, Lord, in a word of prayer. Pray God's blessing on the service as well as the offering.
Just another church service.
As I look back on all of my days, so many times, so many ways, I have been blessed, and all I can say is God is still good. Sometimes the night brings sorrow and pain, sometimes the tears fall like the rain, but through it all, He's never changed. God is still good.
God is still good when the waves roll high. God is still good all through the night. And I've done all I can, and I don't understand. God is still good. Clouds of doubt may darken my way. Showers of
there have been times that I've let Him down, made my mistakes, and still I have found, though I stumble and fall, but through it all, God is still good. Mercy still flows from the palm of His hand. He will give grace and help me to stand. And although He knows how unworthy I am, God is still good.
Yes, we're having children's church. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ears. Sing it with me, church. I love you, Lord.
Psalms chapter number 1. We're there at the Lord's direction today, and we're so excited to get the involvement of God. I never get ho-hum about that. Think about that. The God of the universe, who's orchestrating the planets and controlling the weather, cares what you hear about out of the Word of God. That's crazy to me, and I'm just blown away by it and so grateful for it. I also want to say that today is an exciting day at Calvary Baptist Church. Tonight is our fifth Sunday fellowship. Do you know what that means? Fifth Sunday fellowship. At 5 o'clock today, we'll meet downstairs, and we're going to have a meal, not just snacks. So bring your finger foods, your good foods, your chicken fingers, your crab legs, all that good stuff, something. You know, bring it on down. I tell you what I'm going to bring tonight. The Children's Home always makes a contribution because we attend here, and Mount Perrin Christian School does something unique. They literally once a year for their service day, they make about 100 casseroles, and they label them, and they're actually a number in our refrigerator. And the first time we ever ate those, you know, a casserole is a casserole, but the first time we ever ate those, we were like, ooh, how about that, you know? Because those are rich people, and they make good stuff. They got good ingredients in there. I'll make a couple of those. That'll be good tonight. And at any rate, it's going to be good. Also, today we begin something different. On Sunday nights for the next 6 or 7 weeks, Brother Dwayne Swan will be preaching downstairs, and he's going to be covering the subject of the purpose of the church. And it's something that he's done in his Westridge Bible study, and I want you to catch what I'm about to say. It's always good in any area of your life to go back to the beginning and say, hey, what was this supposed to look like? Why am I doing that? If you did that with your marriage, would that help your marriage? If you went back and said, what am I trying to accomplish with my wife? I promise you some stuff that's in your life would come out. Maybe you wouldn't be so offended by the Amazon deliveries, right? Maybe she wouldn't get so frustrated by your shoes and all that good stuff. You get what I'm saying. So we're excited about that. And Brother Dwayne Swan has been a teacher in our church for a number of years, and we're grateful. He's also my uncle. So for a few weeks, we're doing the purpose of the church, 5 o'clock. It's going to be very, very good. In Psalms chapter number 1, of course, you guys know that this is the very first psalm, and I think it's the first psalm because it's so very important. And this psalm is so important that you know this to be true. I have challenged all of the kids in the youth group that if you memorize it and can quote it to me, I'll give you $50. And twice I've done that. There's two kids in our church who've done that. 1 month I did it for our adult group and said if anybody can memorize it, because it really helped my life. It's something my entire youth group memorized when we were kids. And if it is lived, the Bible actually says in this passage, it's one of those rock hard promises, you will win. If you live this psalm, you will win. You'll understand what I mean by that in just a second. Verse number 1 says this, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That means you're not listening to ungodly people and doing what they say. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be. Did you catch that word? Shall. Not might, not maybe, not could, not want to. The word of God says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whatever he does will prosper. That's a promise out of the word of God. If you do what verse number 1 and verse number 2 says, that will happen in your life. It's a surefire way for you to win. We'll break that down in just a second. It goes on to say the contrast for those who don't follow the word of God. Verse number 4 says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. It's quite a contrast that's drawn up for you in the scriptures today. It's the difference between a thriving tree and worthless dust. A thriving tree or worthless dust. The one who follows after the Lord, a thriving tree. The one who doesn't listen to his life, literally in the end, is worthless dust. The chaff which the wind driveth away is when they would separate wheat in those days. You know, they would throw it up, and what had merit and worth would fall down, and the wind would blow it away. Years ago, when I was a kid, I would come across passages in the Bible that are like this, or like where Jesus taught about the four soils. And I remember when I would have a youth pastor that would begin to teach about the four soils, he would talk about the thorny, the stony, the sidewalk, or the good soil. I would literally be praying in my seat, God, let me be the good soil. Please make me the good soil. How do I get to be the good soil? But what I learned about these passages of Scripture is you get to decide which one you are. You get to decide which influences you allow to have. One of the things that's very striking about verse number 3 and the thing about he shall be, and it's a promise that whatever you do shall prosper, it's not saying in the first two verses, what do you do? How do you carry yourself? What do you do in your life? It talks about what are you influenced by? Are you influenced by the world's ways, or are you influenced by the Word of God? Because if you make the Word of God so prominent, as it says in verse number 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. If it's like food to you, and you ingest it, and you put it in that priority place, you are going to win. Years ago at the children's home won a contest. I don't know if you guys have ever submitted to one of those drawings, but there was a large landscape company that was giving away a landscape, and you could submit a different project that they could do for a different charity, and we presented our gymnasium. We built the gym in 2014, right after the housing crush. I love that during those difficult times, God always shows himself strong to the children's home. He reminds them that he cares for us, and we got an incredible gift to build that gymnasium. But when we did the gift, Brother Celan, you'll remember me and you and Brother Snyder, we sat in a room for 3 straight days and we crunched numbers down to the penny, right? And we worked and worked and worked. And when we got done with it, we did not have landscaping included in the project, right? It was 700 grand and we just built that gym and we were so glad to do it. Had the concrete donated, but it literally around the entire gymnasium, it was like a blank canvas, literally just dirt around it. So we submitted that and we won. And if you're ever driving down Lost Mountain Road, I want you to look to the left of the children's home. It's the best looking thing on the whole campus. That side that faces Lost Mountain Road is stunningly gorgeous. But I want you to pay attention to the fact that there are 3 magnolia trees that they planted that day. 3 magnolia trees, exact same size, exact same day. 2 of them are planted about 30 feet off the gym, and 1 of them is planted directly beside the gym. And what we began to notice by year number 3 is that one in the middle, though it was planted on the same day, in the same soil, literally with all of the same investment in it by the same company, began to take off in ways the others could only dream of. And literally today, the one in the middle looks like it's a 40-year-old tree, and those other 2 trees look their age, about 10 years old, right? Do you know what the difference is? The one in the middle got planted by a downspout off the gym. And the gym is so huge, it catches all that water, and that water ran directly onto that tree, and it made that thing take off. And the Bible is saying, what feeds you will determine how your life is going to end up, what's going to happen in your life. And I know if I were to ask any of the young people or anybody in this house today, what are the most important things in your life, you know what you'd say? All of them say, my friends, my family, the people in my life, how your life impacts them will be deeply, deeply affected by what you intake into your life. What do you ingest? What influences do you listen to? Look back with me to verse number 1. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The word counsel means guidance. It means direction. It means advice. Anybody in here ever got bad advice before? Anybody here got bad advice? Oh, no, not you too. The world is full of know-it-alls, isn't it? There's plenty of guidance and counsel and advice out there. It's crazy, but it's true. I when I think about bad advice, I think about who knows who Brett Favre is? Anybody who know Brett Favre? Brett Favre, Hall of Fame quarterback, Super Bowl champion quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. Do you know who drafted Brett Favre? Do you know who drafted Brett Favre? Who had Brett Favre first? The Atlanta Falcons drafted Brett Favre. But they had a coach named Jerry Glanville that couldn't stand him. And he actually famously said, Before Brett Favre gets to play on our field, a plane crash will have to occur. And he put Brett Favre on the scout team. And literally because of that decision and his guidance to the organization, he gave the advice that he should be traded. And the Green Bay Packers traded a first-round draft pick to get him the next year. We got a first-round draft pick that we drafted a guy who ran for 300 yards over three seasons and then quit. And they got Brett Favre, right? Bad advice. Bad deal, bad deal, bad deal. Great for the Green Bay Packers, not for the Braves. You would never ask a morbidly obese man, fitness advice, would you? Would you ask him about health and fitness? You wouldn't do it. I see you looking at me. You know I fell in love with a biscuit. I can't help it, right? Those Bojangles, they make things nice up there. But it's true. You wouldn't do it. You would not ask a homeless guy for financial guidance. I promise you wouldn't. In the world that we live in, if you walked up to one and you asked him about financial advice, you might offend him, but he might have some pointers for you. I mean, we just know it all in this country, don't we? But if you read the passage of Scripture, when we think about those influences, the Bible's impression is you would be better off to ask those people for advice than to take the counsel of the ungodly, to listen to ungodly people as the direction and how they carry out through their lives. Follow what I'm about to say to you. When the Bible says the word ungodly, that's a sad word. I mean, think about that. Where God is, there's light, there's hope, there's love, there's help. Everywhere God is working, it's substantially better. I could prove that to you. If I had 30 minutes, I could just give you a million examples, right? Where God is, there's light, there's hope, there's help, there's love. So to be ungodly is to walk apart from all of God's light, God's love, God's help, and God's guidance and whatnot. And so when the Bible says that specifically, we know that that group includes unsaved people. And here's what you have to understand. Jesus said these words. Jesus said, you must be born again. He didn't say you could become a good person, you could grow into a good person. He said you needed to have a born-again experience where you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And the Bible says in that moment you are spiritually born again. Your spirit comes to life. But until that happens in your life, and some of you in the room have told me that has not happened, until that happens in your life, literally, the Bible says, not Uncle B, not Brian, the Bible says that your sins separate you from God. That God is over there and he's got all this help and all this hope and all this light that he would like to share into your life. But your sins separate you from God and you are over here. And all those who have not trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior fall into the ungodly character category because they are separated from God. Well, here's the challenge with that. Does the Bible say that more people are saved or less people are saved? Is the majority of the world saved? No, the Bible says broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go thereat, and narrow is the way that leads to life. The world's population is full of people who have not trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and you cannot follow the path that they had. Now take it to another level. We're talking about influences. What are the media markets controlled by? The influences of our life, what are they controlled by? Are they controlled by more Christians, or are there less Christians controlling the media market? More un-Christians, more ungodly. If you flip through your TV channel, you know I'm telling you the truth. There's far more networks that are controlled by ungodly people and the influences that they want to bring into your life. If you flip through your radio, is it more Christian or is it more ungodly? Far more ungodly. Think about Tammy Wynette. Do you remember that girl? Tammy Wynette, she's saying, stand by your man. Do you know how many people she married? She married five men. She should have sang, trade me your man. She could have said, stand by your men, right? The world doesn't have any way of guiding life in real way. Those influences are negative and not good. If you go to the internet, you know this to be true. The darkest things our world has ever known have come through the internet, and you can see how that works. As I am speaking to you today, there are more than 1,000 people making child pornography. That's an absolute fact. There's more than 1,000 people that are foisting horror upon these children and spreading it out into the world. You cannot trust this world with your heart. It will mislead you for sure. Years ago, I heard a sermon by a guy named Carnes. His last name was Carnes. And he preached on snakes and snakes in the Bible. And the very first time that you ever see the enemy of your soul represented in the Bible, it's in the form of a serpent in the Garden of Eden. And the Bible, the very first word that the Bible ever uses about the enemy of your soul? Does anybody know it? The very first word starts with an S. Subtle. The Bible says he's subtle. Subtle means crafty. Subtle means sneaky. Subtle means deceptive, right? Very, very crafty. Mr. Carnes described how, in his view, looking at how the devil worked in the last 20 years, he said, look at how often the singers that are so popular in the world today, the ones that literally are selling promiscuity and selling sensuality and promoting all of this opposite of what God expects is when the Bible says flee sexual immorality, right? These people, how many of them got their start, watch what I'm about to say to you, at the Disney Channel? How many of them got their start at the Disney Channel? Because rewind 20 years ago, how many of you guys loved Hannah Montana? Didn't you love Hannah Montana? Oh my goodness, every boy in America thought she was just the greatest thing. It was an innocent, cute story. Did you know Britney Spears was a musketeer before, oops, she did it again? She was singing Mickey Mouse, right? She did, right? Before Miley came in on a wrecking ball, she was singing a little, happy Hannah Montana stuff. And millions of children fell in love with these girls and followed them right up to into their careers where they are promoting this thing of sexual immorality and stuff that will take us far, far away from the Lord. I remember that these influences are powerful because I promise you, these influences in our world turned a culture in a generation. Watch what I'm about to say. They turned a culture in a generation. For about 10 years, starting in 1999 to maybe 2009, Snyder Turner would say, you better be careful with the sitcoms you watch, because every sitcom seemed to put a homosexual that was the most beloved character in the sitcom. The one that was the funniest, the one that was the most charming, it would be the homosexual. And little by little by little, because of that influence, it changed the way that we viewed the sin. The Bible calls it abomination every time it's spoken of. By the way, if my father were a homosexual, 11 people would disappear off the earth today. Catch that? It's not an insignificant sin. The reason God doesn't want it is it's a generation killer. But follow what I'm about to say to you. When I say turned a culture, if you had walked in, I got to speak at my high school graduation. If I had got up there in front of all those people at East Paulding High School in 1995 and said to them, in 20 years, in the year 2015, in America, a man will be able to marry a man, what do you think would have happened to me? They would have carried me out of that place. I promise you. They would have said, that's impossible. There's absolutely no way that's true. You know what? Ungodly influences shifted, didn't they? They shifted. And for all of the people who have turned to homosexuality, who will never have children, who will never have grandchildren, who bring in this brokenness, this sorrow into our world, it is so very problem. If I had also gone into my high school graduation and said, in 2020, there will be places in our country where men dressed in drag can go into kindergarten rooms and read children's stories, how do you think I would have been treated? Do you think they would have believed me? That would have been so far from what was possible. My friends would have been like, even my lost friends. My school was mostly unchristian. They would have said, oh, we'll deal with that, right? We'll have fun dealing with that. We're going to get that right. Where in the world is that going on? There's no way that will happen. It's very, very careful. We have to be very, very careful that you and I don't listen to the influences of the world, because the world will always lead you in the wrong direction. My wife and I have had a really cool friend. We've been very well cared for. God's just been so good to us. Along the way at the Children's Home, we've met some neat people who've been a friend to us. And we had a friend who for a few years, right before the tree lot, right before those four straight 100-hour weeks were going to come into my life, he would say, hey, I've got a condo in St. Simon's Island, and why don't you go down there for a few days? And every year when we went down there, Brunswick, Georgia, which is the right next town, had this celebration they call Porch Fest. And Porch Fest is a cool thing. They got all these antebellum homes, these gorgeous homes like you might see in Eufaula or in Savannah and whatnot. And they're beautiful. And on the porches scattered throughout the city throughout the day, these bands change. And you can go and hear different bands on the porch. And a lot of times, Melita and I would go, we would go hear to Christian bands or the people singing the 60s, just things that we like. But last year we went, and we noticed that on one of the big houses, there was a huge gathering. And you've got this map. I'm talking about there are dozens of bands singing at the same time, and they trade out hour by hour by hour. But you, as you get closer to it, you can just zero in on their music. But I remember as I got closer to it, I looked over, and I was like, what is this? And you remember what it was, Melita? It was a trans somebody singing. And he started his line by saying, can you believe we're in South Georgia and I can do this? Can you believe we're in South Georgia? And he said, I tell everybody, all I do, I'm just here to spread love. And the crowd was like, woo! You know what you're spreading, brother? You're spreading confusion, right? You're spreading confusion. The Word of God says, God made them what? Male and female. All of you, if you're a boy, is boy. You have boy toes and boy heart and boy liver. You were created to be, you were beautifully, and the Bible says, wonderfully made. And in that regard, God made you just like you are, and he loves who you are, and you should be who you are. And if I were an enemy to you, I would try to convince you that you could become something that you could never become. You cannot listen to those enemies. And so break it down. In those big ways, it's easy for us to understand the power of negative influences, but let's take it down a little closer to where we live. Because honestly, what is the media, what is the attitude in our culture today regarding sexual promiscuity? What is it regarding that? Do we see it? Honestly, all of the influences around us are saying to us that sensuality is something that we should entertain ourselves with. That's what it's saying. Sensuality is something that we should entertain ourselves with. Contrast that with what God wants for your life. I want you just to think about that. Contrast that. Sensuality, whoever you want, whenever you want, how you want, is for entertainment with what God says. Because in God's economy, before a man gets to treat a woman like a wife, watch what I'm about to say to you, he has to marry her. Before he gets the privilege of experiencing her as a wife in that intimate way, he has to pledge to her, watch what I'm about to say, all of my stuff now belongs to you. Everything I own belongs to you. I pledge to you all my worldly goods with thee I share. He's supposed to say to her, from God's perspective, no matter what happens to you, no matter what illness, what sorrow, what tragedy happens to you, I will never leave you. I'll never leave you. He has to say to her, for the rest of my life, I will provide for you and I will care for you. He has to say to her father, your name got her to where she is today. Your name bought her first car. Your name paid for her college. Your name paid for all of the ice cream and the goodies as she came up. But I'm putting my name on her now, and I'm going to take care of the ice cream, the car, and the goodies. From this point forward, I'm going to care for that girl. This man has to say to her with his words or with his life, I have no dreams. I have no ambitions. I have no goals that you're not a part of. I pledge my life to you. And let me say something to you. When a woman loves a man and she gets that kind of a commitment and that kind of dedication and that kind of care, it's a great deal, right? It's a great deal. It's a great deal for her, and it's a great deal for him. And by the way, I'll say this to you. I don't know a godly man. This is a fact. Of all the godly men that I know, I don't know a single one that doesn't think they got the better end of the deal, right? We all know we got the better end of the deal. When a girl comes into our life and she decorates our world with her charm, when she cares for our children, I would have married Melita just for what she did for my kids. Just the goodness that she brought to my children was worth all of the commitment and all of the care, right? We get the better end of that deal, but it's a good, proper exchange. Now contrast that back to what the world says. To what the world says, that we just experience that sensuality with somebody we don't have any commitment to, that we don't have any relationship with. I remember literally years ago, Vance Havner wrote a book called Playing Marbles with Diamonds. The book is titled Marbles with Diamonds, and it'd be good for you to read that book. But he talked about the premise of it was that in Africa, a man came upon children near one of those poor village, and they were playing marbles, but they were literally using diamonds. And it occurred to him that these children had been deceived, and they didn't have any knowledge to know that the very thing they were playing with had the power to lift them out of poverty. It had the power to radically change their life and open up doors in their life. And instead, they were just playing with it like it was marbles. And here's the problem. When we treat the very valuable like it is invaluable, we miss out on the value. True story. Years ago, a guy had those wire spools. You know what I'm talking about? Those big wooden wire spools that they put wire on. And he had about 50 of them, and he was trying to get rid of them. And so he decided he would go out to the roadside and put all 50 of them up like in a pyramid. And he put a sign on them and said, "Free, take one." And 3 weeks went by where literally nobody took one. And somebody said, "I got an idea for you. Go out there and put a value on them." And so literally, because he needed the space and he was trying to get rid of them, he went out there and he put a sign on them that was like $10 each. And you know what's crazy? Within a week, someone had stole them all. Literally, somebody stole them all. When you associate value to something, people treat it differently. Did you catch what I just said? When you associate value to something, people treat it differently. And God's ways work. When you walk with God in that way, I think about how a husband and a wife grow up. They literally become grandparents one day. My prayer partner is a 75-year-old man. And every week I meet with him for 1 hour to pray. And I can't tell you, I've been doing this for probably 2 years now. I can't tell you how often I've never met many of his grandchildren, but I can see them in my mind's eye, because when he prays, he weeps over his grandchildren. They're not in trouble or anything like that, but he prays for their spouse that they're going to meet. He prays for the opportunities that they have. He prays for every little ailment. He loves his grandchildren. He prays for his wife, who his grandkids call Grandma Uber, right? She's Grandma Uber. She's driving them everywhere, but they're bringing such strength and such help into their children's lives. And if you subtract all of that goodness that God built into our country through building families, where are we going to be? Years ago, I remember I had this experience where I played baseball for a team where I was the only Christian. I was at East Paulding High School, and my senior year, a few of those guys did trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. But up until that point, literally, it was like a pagan world. And I would not be permitted to tell you some of the debauchery that went on amongst those fellas. But I do remember this specifically. The guy that I was backing up when I was a freshman, he and I split time when I was a junior. He was 2 years ahead of me, a sophomore. He was 2 years ahead of me. He had a girlfriend who would not participate in sensual sin. And I remember over and again, we'd be in the locker room and the guys would be talking about all their exploits and the things that they did. They had body counts back then, like they try to rack up these days, right? They would do those kind of things. But literally, he would always be like, "Dude, I'm telling you, she's got a lock on it. She says until I marry her, she will not do that." Ironically, her name was Chastity. That's a true story. Here's why I told that story. He graduated 2 years before me. I didn't see him for 25 years. And one day, one of the Calvary Children's Home kids was playing in far Paulding baseball, and I went to that baseball game to see. And I looked up on the top row, and guess who was sitting there? Joe and Chastity. God's ways work. They were probably there to see their grandchild at that time. They're probably there to see their little grandchild there. God's ways work. Do you know what doesn't work? The world's ways. They have never worked. They won't work tomorrow. They didn't work yesterday. They don't work at all. Young people, let me ask you a question. Think about the environments I'm about to tell you. The environments I'm about to list are places where Jesus is freely flowing and families are loving Jesus. Do you see God's ways working at the Adams family? Do you see God's ways working at the Fawcetts? Do you see God's ways working in Rod Smith's life? Do you see God's ways working at North Cobb Christian School? Do you see God's ways working at Calvary Children's Home? God's ways are good. When you get away from God's ways, it's a tragedy. Think about the end result. If the world got what they really asked for, and the world got what they really wanted, do you know what they would get? They would get a complete rejection of Christianity. And in the places of the world where that's going on, it is more broke than I could describe to you. Do you know in Iran right now, they're executing, and they have over the last months executed tens of thousands of protesters? Here's something that I recently learned, and it was attested to on many news channels. In Iran, when they execute a protester, because of their broken belief system, they believe if you die a virgin, you automatically go to heaven. So before they execute you, they will make good and sure well that you are no longer a virgin. Darkness. Darkness. Don't push away what Jesus wants. Run to what Jesus wants. Look at the next part. The Bible says he doesn't listen to the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners. Notice the progression that's going on, by the way. First, you're walking through. Then you're stopping to stand and hear what they have to say. Then you're sitting and making yourself at home, nor stands in the way of sinners. Here's the reality of the situation. If you read the Bible is kind of confirms what you and I have come to understand in different terms. We used to go to a conference that was called Show Me Your Friends and I'll, what, Miss Darlene?
Show you your future.
Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. That's that you hear in secular circles that you will become like the five people that you hang out the most with. You know that to be true. It is important that in your inner circle of people, you don't have somebody in your top five, if you will, that is calling you away from the Lord. If you have somebody in your inner circle of closest friends that routinely calls you away from the Lord, that's somebody you need to create distance with because they will influence you. We are so influenceable that I have this flaw. Miss Rich, this is a true story. When I'm around my Hispanic friends, I start talking like them a little bit. I don't know why it is. I literally have a friend named Jose. He's a wonderful fella. And when he's talking to me, I'll be like, oh, man, the sauce is hot. See, it's hot, you know? He looks at me like, dude, because he's never going to go to Cracker Barrel and say, you know, I reckon I'll take some chicken and some pancakes. You know what I mean? He's not going to do it, right? But we are impressionable. It's true. I go to the China place for food. I'm like, I'll take a hot and sauce. Ooh. You know what I mean? I don't know why it is. It's not good, right? We are impressionable. Who's the greatest king in the Bible? Who's the greatest king of Israel? No question it's David. No question, right? Greatest king. Who is the oldest son of David? Who?
Solomon.
It was not Solomon. Who's the oldest son of King David? You know why you don't know that? His name is Amnon. Amnon is the oldest son of the greatest king in all of Israel's history. But the Bible says Amnon had a wicked friend. Over and again in the chapter it says, but Amnon had a friend. And Amnon had a very bad idea one day. He fell in love with his stepsister. Her name was Tamar, and she had it looking right. She was beautiful, and he had a crush on her. And his wicked friend gave him an idea to trick her, to get her in his presence alone. And when he got done doing what he did that he'd wanted to do for so very long, the Bible says he hated her with a greater hate than the love that he had for her before. And the reason he did that is because he knew he had just jacked up his life. He knew he had just jacked up his life. And about 2 years later, her whole brother, Absalom, caught him off the ranch, if you will. And anybody guess what Absalom did to him? He killed him. The Bible says he killed him dead. Is there any other way to kill somebody? He killed him. But here's the crazy thing. The Bible says when people ran to tell King David, your children are dead, your children are dead, that very same friend, that wicked friend that gave him the idea said, no, not all your children are dead. It's just Amnon. In other words, he knew good and well what Absalom was going to do, but he did nothing to help him with it, right? The wicked world will not love you back. You don't need to have. Here's something I teach our young people, and it's practical and it's true. I say to them, in the generation that you live in, you need a godly adult friend. You need a godly adult friend. And here's why I say that. Adults have resources. Adults have connections. Adults have wisdom. Tell me if I'm wrong. If any young people in this church said, for this year, 2026 until May of 2027, I'm going to make David Henderson my friend. I'm going to once a month go have coffee with him. He don't drink coffee, hot chocolate, sissy. Anyway, I'm going to once a month have that with him, right? I'm going to once a month do something nice with him. I'm going to share my heart with him and let him share his heart with me. If any young person did that for 1 year, would it strengthen their life or would it weaken their life? You know I'm telling you the truth. You know good and well it would help them so much. It would be a radical thing. If any young person said, any young girl said, I'm going to make Yvonne Nettles my friend, right? I'm going to make her my friend. And for 1 year, I'm going to make a monthly visit to her. And I'm going to share some things that are, I'm going to listen to what she said. They might actually learn to sew. That's a concept that's foreign to the world, right? We need more people who can sew. When buttons come off, we're in big trouble. At any rate, you know that it's true. I promise you, Jesus is our example. Jesus went to the sinners. You recall that. He went into sinners' home, and he fellowshiped with sinners. He's different from us. He's trying to reach the sinners. But when he went back home, he was with his disciples, and he had that inner circle, which was Peter, James, and John, who went on to do so many great things. Peter and John wrote books of the Bible. James was the first martyr, you know, and it's absolutely true. Here's your challenge today from the scriptures. If you want to win, and I still got 5 minutes. If you want to win, if you want to have that verse where it says, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, would you be willing to cut somebody out of your inner circle that doesn't belong there? Do you have somebody in your life that counsels you to do wrong? Would you be willing to say, I love you, but I'm going to take steps back from you? There's somebody in my life as a young person that I love dearly, but I could see that their life was on a destructive path, and I took steps back for it, and they didn't take my life down with them. It's very, very important. Why does God tell us not to be unequally yoked? This is important. The Bible says, God tells the believer, do not marry the unbeliever. Watch what I'm about to say. Because if a believer marries an unbeliever, as that believer grows closer to the Lord, what's happening in his relationship with his spouse? Huh? If she's not a believer. Or what happens, and if he doesn't grow closer to the Lord, then she's keeping him away from the Lord. It is very, very important who we allow to influence in our life and be in our life, and you got to make some decisions about that. The next two verses are extraordinary, and here's a funner part of the thing today. Go with me very quickly. Verse number 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The Bible says that if you treat the Bible like it's food, if you delight in it, and if you walk in it, you will delight in it because you'll see how much it'll help you. If you get to see how God moves in your life as you follow the Word of God, you will grow in your delight for the Word of God. The Bible says two things that will happen. You're going to be strengthened and you're going to win. You're going to be strengthened and you're going to win. Strengthened, right? His leaf also shall not wither. He's producing his fruit. Let me ask you a question. Does love strengthen a life or weaken a life? Does faithfulness strengthen a life or weaken a life? Does hard work strengthen a life or weaken a life? Does truth strengthen a life? We could go down the list, right? All that God's going to call you to do through the Word is God is going to strengthen your life, and it's going to help you in your life. I promise you, none of the ways of God will hurt you. It will strengthen you. And when it says he's going to win, the world would say, he who dies with the most toys wins, right? You see t-shirts and bumper stickers. He who dies with the most toys wins. The problem is, he who dies with the most toys still dies, and nobody on their deathbed says, bring me my portfolio. How many of you have been in the room when somebody was dying? Huh? Nobody ever says, bring me my portfolio. Show me what I'm about to leave behind, right? You know what they say? Bring my friends. Bring my family. Let me be near the people that are close to me. He who dies with the most toys doesn't win. You know who wins? He who loves the most wins. He who fulfills his purpose wins. He who walks with God and brings the help of God to their family wins. Some of the times when I write a sermon, especially when I'm doing a funeral, I have to do what Brother Dwayne's going to do tonight, go back to the very purpose. And sometimes I get so much going on in my head, and one sermon starts swimming with another sermon, and I have to just stop for a second and say, Brian, what are you really trying to say? And please give me this couple minutes, right? Brian, what are you really trying to say? And I remember getting to do some of the funerals. I've done more funerals this year than I've ever done. Probably in the last 2 years, I've done more than I've done all the years combined. But I remember doing some of the funerals of the great Christians that were in this church. I remember literally with Lucille Turner's funeral, I would begin to write things and say, hey, what am I going to say? And I would always go back to Brian, what are you trying to say? And you know what I really wanted to say over her life? What I really wanted to say was, you did it! You won! You brought the help of God to your family. You brought the help of God to your kids. You brought the help of God to your husband. You brought the help of God to that children's home that you guys founded. You literally brought the ideas of God to earth. You did it. You won. You know why she won? She followed that book. She obeyed that book. She honored that book. And what God fed into her life helped. I remember at Dion Lauder's funeral. You know what I really wanted to say at Dion Lauder's funeral? It was such a pleasure serving Jesus Christ with you. It was such a joy to walk with you in the strength that you brought and the ideas that you brought. We still say sweet mercy, right? And all of the goodness that you brought. It was such a pleasure. And you died way too young. He died still looking strong at 63. But I wanted to look down and say, you did it. You followed that book. You walked with God. You helped us, man. Not a week goes by where we're not telling a story out of Dion's life. I did Curry Brown's funeral, and you guys don't know him, but he is my sister-in-law's father, and he was such a godly man, and I heard his children stand up there and say, thank you, Dad, for showing us Jesus. Thank you, Dad, for showing us how to serve and for pointing us to the great hope of life. You won, Curry Brown. You won. I remember Barbara Anderson. Barbara Anderson told me one time that she literally had $50,000 that she had to make last for 17 years. $50,000 that she had to make last. She was so limited on resources, but she walked with Jesus and walked in that book, and she brought the help of God to this church, and she was a blessing. When she had her stroke, this is precious. When she had her stroke and she got put over there at what used to be the Bryan Center, her roommate told me she is an answer of prayer to my life. That literally for a year I begged God to grant me a godly roommate. And she moved in there. It was during the pandemic years. We used to would take the children's home kids over there to the girls that could sing. And we'd go, there's a difference if you can sing and not sing. Keep Ryan's tear. Anyway, right? We'd be outside that window, literally singing into a room, right? And I remember one time that woman in her room told me what a blessing that we had been to her and what a gift that she was. When Miss Barbara died, I went back over to meet with Miss Blackstock, was her name. And as soon as I got there, I just wanted to thank her for the friendship that she had showed. They said, no, as soon as she died, her family moved her. They kept her here for the treasure that was Barbara Anderson. Even in her defeated state, she was a blessing. Barbara Anderson funeral. Well, you know what I wanted to say? Back to the basics. You did it. You won. You brought the help of God. Contrast that to a life that's not connected to God. You just go make all your money, and you just go have all your fun, man, you're going to miss out on what we were created for. And you're playing marbles with diamonds. That book says to you, he shall be, he or she shall be like a tree, and whatsoever they do it shall prosper. One of the things I teach the young people, and we're done, but I say to them, if you walk with God, you'll be a blessing to everybody in your life. A godly man is a blessing to his employees. He's a blessing to his boss. He's a blessing to his wife. He's a blessing to his kids. A godly girl, the same, very, very same thing. You walk with God and you can see it anywhere. The godly people help everybody along the way. There is a path to winning, and it starts with how do you treat that book. I've told my church that, but we have guests today, this very thing. Years ago, I picked up a newspaper like 8 a.m. I was just going to read a newspaper. And literally, as I'm holding the newspaper up, the Lord God of the universe said to me, are you really going to read that first? That's what he said. Are you really going to read that first? In other words, would you really be a servant of the Lord, a preacher of the gospel, and pick up a newspaper before you picked up a Bible? I was like, Lord, I was just looking at the pictures. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? Put that down, picked up my Bible. But if we learn to delight in the Lord, we get the help and the involvement and the intake and the wind and the thrust of God into our life. And it's so very good. So I don't know what the Lord spoke into your heart. If you'll stand to your feet today, I just ask you a couple questions. Have you been listening to the wrong voice in your life? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Sometimes we'll have a fight or a disagreement in my world, and I always say to them, if either one of you obey God, we'll get through this. If either one of you will listen to what God says, we're going to make it through this. Maybe there's somebody in your life. Real Christianity would be a young person coming up to me today and say, I've decided to take steps back from my wicked friend. I'm not going to give them space in my life, that space. It doesn't mean you hate them or you don't love them or you don't want to help them. They just can't have influence over you in your life. And be careful with those things in your life and commit to God. I'm going to make your word of God very important in my life. I'm going to delight in it. I'm going to read it first. I'm going to think about it. That'll be a blessing to you. God, we love you today. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the opportunity to break down the word of God. We thank you for these truths, God, the many, many promises that I've seen come to pass in my life. I thank you, God, that you're not a catch me if you can kind of God, but you're a God who's real and who involves himself in our lives. And I thank you that I've seen it in the lives of precious people who brought help from heaven to me. And God, I pray in Jesus' name that we would be those people that we would be strong because we're fed by all that you're trying to bring into our lives. And I pray if there's some things in our lives that are carrying us away from the flowing river of God, God, that we'd cut those out of our lives. And I pray you'd give us the strength to do that today. And I pray if somebody in this place has never trusted Jesus as your Savior, they'd come. We'll show them how, God. Grant those things to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God loves the humble. A dad right here praying. I love it. Thank you for humbling yourself. It'll help you.
But he did not despair. He started over again. And I bless the day. He didn't throw the clay away.
God help us. Pray for Max today. He's got a challenge today. Pray for Miss Glenda. Tough months. Miss Connie. Miss Cassie. Brother Trail lost his brother. Amen. How about that?
Yes. Because Jesus,
that's awesome.
Didn't throw the clay away.
Thank you. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord today. I hope through the preaching, through the songs, you're able to line your heart up with the Lord Jesus Christ today. It'll be a great day. For you, a great week for you if you implement any of the things that we talked about today and be a strength to your life. Come back at 5 o'clock. Dwayne Swan is going to be preaching tonight, sharing that thing out of the Word of God. I'm so excited to hear about all that's going on. Let's show him how much we love him by supporting that, and it's a blessing to us. And God bless you. I pray you have a great day.